Yeah, man, welcome to another episode of the Be Limitless Today podcast. I am your host, Jarvis Cobb, and this is another episode in the series Root Work. And for those that don't know, if you haven't seen yet, Root Work is a practice of accountability and ownership, starting with creating change within yourself. So what I've been calling my root work is, over the pandemic, I didn't do any content or anything, but every motivational video I watched, every sermon I've watched, anything that have sparked thought in me, I wrote it down on a sticky note. And I like to call this my root work because it helps me to dig to the foundation of what I was going through, why I was going through it, what can I change about myself. And that's what I've been sharing here, is picking five at random, telling you what the sticky note says, giving you some insight on where I might have been in my life when I wrote it, what things I might have got from it, or what practices I may have implemented moving forward. So let's start with number one. God is not wrong. So why are you hiding if God is not wrong? Why do you give up on yourself? Why do you talk to yourself like trash when he never gives up on you? God is not wrong. So this one is telling me to remember what I study, remember what I read, remember the words that God speaks about me, and then live by those words. It's the conflict of me having these negative thoughts, of me having thoughts of inadequacy, of me thinking that I can't do something, but then at the same time reading that God gives you the strength to overcome, that all things are possible if you take them to God and work through God to do it, that God is making everything work for the good to come to an expected end for you. It was teaching me to pick a side, basically. Which side are you going to lean into? Are you going to keep leaning into thinking that God is just setting you up to fail, or this is all a big joke, or God didn't necessarily give you the things that you need to do the visions that you've been having, which would be quite cruel to have all these visions and things that I want to achieve, but then God not give me the tools and the way to make it happen. So which side am I going to lean into? Because God is not wrong. If I'm truly believing that God is not wrong and God is in control and God is doing all these things to help me propel in my life and to grow and to get to the levels I want to get to, that I should lean into what he says about me. I should lean into what I read in his word and read about what he speaks over my life. And I've been doing that more lately, and it's been working out quite well, actually. I've been pretty obedient, especially when it comes to my relationship with my wife. That's been a big one because, you know, we get stuck in our own heads. We get stuck in thinking that we are the victim, that our spouse is doing something to us. They're not doing enough for us. They're just trying to tear us down. They're trying to attack us. And having those foundations, praying about situations, praying in the moment when we start to get into it with each other. And I'm thinking like, God, what am I supposed to do here? Because my first responses are never a good response. How I respond after the fact, I'm usually one to, I think it's called stonewall. So I just shut down, and that does nothing for a relationship either. So through praying in the moment, asking what should I do, the results have been far more effective and positive in what I've been getting once I do those prayers. So lean into what he has for me, lean into what he says about me, and let's see where this thing goes. Let's go to number two. It's okay to care what people think about you. It's not okay to be controlled by what people think. Yeah, this one is definitely not just for me. It's okay to care what people think about you, but it is not okay to be controlled. So that just means what people think about you should not dictate your actions. Plain and simple. People can think whatever they want to think, and you can even consider it. I've been working on not considering it, because really when it comes down to it, what people think do not move the needle one way or another. When I lost my apartment, lost my car, what somebody thought about me in that moment would not change the situation I was in. When I was able to get on TV and achieve that goal, how great somebody thought I was did not bring more money to my pocket. It did not pay any bills in my house at that time. It did not change the needle one way or another. So this is just a practice of hearing something and then making sure that your voice is louder than anybody else's. Making sure what you think about yourself and what you think about what you're doing is far more important than what anybody else thinks. And as anybody, you have to be the one. You have to be the one. You have to be the biggest voice and the loudest in your mind. And knowing that that's the case, you have to watch what you say about yourself. You have to watch what you speak over your life and what you speak about your future. Because your thoughts starts to come out of your mouth, and what comes out of your mouth starts to dictate your actions. So how are you going to control that? And having and allowing what somebody else thinks, when they don't even have all the details, when they might even have, if 10% of the details, they don't know your life. They don't know what you're going through. They don't know what you've overcome. They don't know all of the things you've had to struggle with. You have the most knowledge about your situation and where you are. So therefore, your voice should be the loudest and the only voice that's important. I'm going to leave it there, actually, because that should be enough for people, man. What somebody else thinks about you does not change your situation whatsoever. Therefore, don't allow it to control how you act and what you do on your day-to-day life. Let's go to number three. You need a new leader. You keep being led by your feelings. You keep being led by your frustrations. You keep being led by your limits. You need a new leader, or you're going to die in a desert or in the wilderness of what if. Die in the wilderness of what if. So this is definitely a play on the Bible story when they were in the wilderness for 40 years living on a what if. I believe the story goes that they were only supposed to spend 40 days there. And the fact that they kept thinking, what if we lose? What if we try to take the land and they overpower us? What if we find ourselves not achieving what we hope to achieve? And living in that what if, they stayed where they were for far longer than they needed to. And with this one, I was just all over the place in my mind at this point. I think this was the middle of COVID. I was definitely frustrated with losing my job, definitely frustrated with myself with not creating for the brand, definitely frustrated in our relationship with my wife. We were not clicking. Man, it was just frustrations all over the place. And I just stayed there. I allowed those things to keep me worried, keep me frustrated, keep me angry, keep me quiet. Like, I just allowed those things to keep me in the same place. And the what if, more so for me, was thinking in the future of what if I don't fix this, or what if I never achieve those dreams that I've been talking about? What if I can't make these things better? What if I lose control of all? What if I lose everything that we've built? And being in that cycle of what if in a negative, it just kept me cycling what if in a negative. And it's just slowly but surely started to break down all the confidence, break down all the visions, break down all the positivity. Like me, the guy that's constantly pushing positivity, definitely was in a dark place of not spreading any good news, any positivity anywhere. And it was because I was in the feelings, I was in my frustrations, I was in my limits. So this one is create a new leader. And for me, it wasn't even a new leader. It was just getting back to God. That's what it was for me. It was getting back to my faith, getting back to my foundation, taking my problems back to the place I knew where to take them. But for one reason or another, I just stopped. I just stopped doing it. So I found that, and things have been on the up and up. Like I said before, the marriage is doing quite well. I am, the job that I'm at is going quite well. My mindset is going quite well. My fitness journey is going quite well. My relationship with my son is going quite well. And it's all because I've started going back to my foundation of taking things to God, taking things to Him, asking what should I do, and then being obedient to what I'm being told to do. And I'm loving my life again. I am loving my life again. And I'm excited to take on challenges. I'm excited to push towards new goals. I'm excited for our future. It's just it's very nice to be back at this place. And I haven't even said that out loud. So now that I'm saying it out loud, I've been feeling it and living it, but saying it out loud that I am happy to be back at this place is that's doing something for me right now. Man, and I hope y'all can get there too. That's all I want. I want y'all to be in a place of bliss, of happiness, and growth, and enjoying life. Because it's definitely not promised. So we got to enjoy what we got. Let's go to number four. Is the God of your highs still your God during your lows and letdowns? Is the God of your highs still your God during your lows and your letdowns? So this one was just reminding me that God is not a genie. God is not somebody that's, you know, there to be my assistant to do whatever I ask, when I ask, how I ask, or to grant me wishes and just bring me all the things that I'm hoping for, all the things that come to my mind that I can just ask God to do and He can snap His fingers and make it happen. This is when things don't look right, when things are difficult, when you are going through your hard times. Is God still going to be the person, the thing, the one that you go to? Is God going to be your source? And this was huge for me because I think I wrote this in the middle of going through like a big rift with my family. And making a decision to take care of my immediate family, which is my wife and my son, above any and everybody else. But that was an extremely difficult decision to make. It's one of the toughest things I've ever had to do. So as I'm going through that, trying to navigate that, is God still going to be my God in those moments? When everything isn't going right, when I'm not all happy-go-lucky, and when I'm not thinking all of the positive thoughts, is God still going to be the person I go to? When I'm starting to look for blame, when thoughts in my head are starting to blame my wife, am I going to go to God first and clear those up, or am I going to attack my wife? Knowing that I made a decision to do something and knowing that it was the right decision to make. In those darkest moments, I've learned God is who I've always gone to. God is who I needed to go to again. And God is not there just for my highs. just for the new job, just for the raise, just for the, you know, blessing of a child. It's all the doctor's appointments. It's the allergies. It's the life-threatening allergies from my son. You know, it's the lulls. It's the dark. It's all of that. I learned from T.D. Jakes that I can do all things through Christ. I've always thought about that verse in a positive light of, you know, I can achieve all these high things. I can make it to these new levels. I can create new streams of wealth and income. I can create generational wealth. But I can do all things is the, I can be broke. I can be eating ramen noodles and hot dogs. I can go through a layoff. We can go through losing a baby. I can do all things through Christ, all good things, all tough times, all in between. I can do all things through Christ, just make Christ the thing I go through. And it works. I don't know what else to tell y'all, man. I know people might think it's corny. People might think it's wishful thinking. It is, you know, fairy tales and such, but I'm loving the life I'm living. That's all I can tell you. I love the life I live, and I know how I've gotten to that point again. And that's through my relationship with God. Not necessarily a religion, not necessarily a certain church, through building my relationship with God. And that's all I know to do. Let me give y'all number five. The greater the faith, the deeper the disappointment. Having low expectations out of life is a defense mechanism against disappointment. Because if you don't venture out, you don't have to be vulnerable. So thankfully, I've always been on the side of what could happen could be a positive. As in going into a situation, my wife, she's more looking for like, what's the danger points? What's the roadblocks we might run into? You know, where do we have to duck our heads? You know, where do we have to see the things that might come at us sideways? I'm more so, we're going into a situation like, okay, this is what we want out of it. There is a possibility that we can get this exact thing. So let's focus on that and then go after it. Both sides are needed. I'm learning that more and more that both sides are needed. With this, it's telling me that don't allow experiencing the disappointments to now make me lower my expectations on what I can achieve, what I can experience in this life, what I can expect from God for him to do in my life. Just because you get disappointed about something doesn't mean, or not even, just because there is a possibility of disappointment doesn't mean you shouldn't go after that thing. Just because it may not work out the way you wanted to doesn't mean you shouldn't try to go and work it at all. Just because a relationship may not turn into a marriage doesn't mean you shouldn't try to start the relationship and see where it goes. Just because you don't feel like you are qualified for a job doesn't mean you can't get that job and then learn on the job and have that company happy to teach you. I know the company I'm at now, I didn't think I was qualified for the position at all from what the description was. I was just applying everywhere. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just throw it. I'm going to throw at this one too. We'll see what happens. And even in the interview with the recruiter, I was way off from what they was looking for, man. It's a tech job, but it has something about Adobe Creative Cloud on there. So I'm talking to her about the Creative Cloud and Premiere Pro. And yeah, I'm into editing and all of that good stuff. And they were more so looking for a tech to run the Chicago office and be the head over all of that, over the equipment, over the support, over keeping the office up to date and all of that. So I was way off when talking to a recruiter, but luckily she liked my personality. She liked the positive energy I had. So she pushed me through to the interview anyway. Long story short, I killed the interview. I got the job. I've been working there for almost 2 years, but I turned out to be the right person for the job. But had I lowered my expectations of what could happen, had I thought there's no way for me to get this position, I would have went in with not being myself. I probably would have went in trying to do something else, or went in, you know, with half the energy, half the positivity, half of myself, and then end up losing the position, trying to save myself from being hurt or being let down. I'm really not sure how I do it, but I'm okay with being let down. And I think it has something to do with the acting that I was doing for a long time. Because in that world, man, it is black and white. There is no in between with them. It's either you got the part or you didn't. And a lot of the times, they don't even tell you you didn't get the part. So one specific story, I went for an audition to try to get an agent at a new company. And it was about 8 of us in the room. I mean, we all went in, we gave our headshots. They took all our headshots back. They came back out, and it was we're going to have to pass on you. We're going to have to pass on you. We're going to have to pass on you. Can you send us 2 more shots? Then they came to me to say, we're going to have to pass on you. We're going to have to. So it wasn't a why. Why don't you like me? Why am I not the right fit? Why am I not fitting into what you think? It was, no, you're not what we're looking for. And I got stuff like that for 3 years straight, going on audition after audition, getting told no, no. Did I get the part? No. Do they like it? No. Nope. Sorry. Next. Next. So I think that built up a little callus in me to where I can go into a situation, and if it don't work out my way, I've learned that that doesn't define who I am. It doesn't define my skill level necessarily. Well, sometimes that could be it. You could, you know, work harder, study better, be more prepared, but it doesn't define me as a person. It doesn't define if I will be successful in the future. It doesn't define if I'm a good husband or a good father or anything else. It's literally just that situation was not meant for me, or I didn't do well in that situation and I can do better next time. So this is telling me to don't lower my expectations as a defense mechanism just because I'm scared to be vulnerable and I'm scared to get rejected. More so, have a deeper faith in what God can do. Understand if this doesn't work out, God probably has something else planned that's better than this. And just continue to walk forward in the light of life is good. Good things can happen to you, and good things will happen to you as long as you keep moving forward in the right light. And I'm going to leave you guys with that wonderful, wonderful message. I love you. I appreciate you. You know, we always say negative news is freely given. Positive news must be searched for. And if you can't find it, then you create it. So go and create you some positive news this week. I will catch you guys in the next episode.